Praise God. I want to minister on something that is applicable to all of us tonight. You know, as we serve God, we're real people. You know, I came across a quote that I don't know who said it, but it says, the best of men are still men at best. The best of men are still men at best. We're just people. I was talking to Pastor Ben Musa earlier this morning, and we were talking about, you know, the more you age, the more you realize it's, at the end of the day, it's about God's grace and mercy. It's not about the expertise of men and what all we're able to do. But one thing that we're going to deal with as men, if we get real honest, is every one of us wants to quit from time to time. We just get tired. We get mad. We get worn out. We get the devil's right there whispering something in our ear. And so I want to just give you a few thoughts on don't give up at a crucial time. And, you know, God is never going to fail you. Never. He is never going to fail us. And he never has failed us. He's never failed anybody. And he's not going to fail us. But there, many times when we're struggling, we don't say, well, I'm going to quit. I'm just done. I'm not going to serve God anymore. None of us want to say that. You know why? Because it sounds so terrible, doesn't it? I'm just going to backslide. I'm just going to go to hell. How many, we don't, it's not like, you know what we do? We don't say we're going to quit. We just stop pressing in. We think, well, I'm not going to say nothing, but we just stop pressing in. You know, things that we once did, we're not doing anymore. Prayers that we once prayed, we kind of lose our, we're not praying anymore. We're not witnessing anymore. We get comfortable. We get unaggressive. And we're not, like I said, we're not going to tell anybody, maybe not even ourselves, but we just stop confronting things. We don't deal with ourselves. We don't deal with sin that comes our way. We begin to make excuses and we decline spiritually. I don't want that. How about you? I want to be real. And when I get down from time to time, I fully intend on getting right back up. And I don't want to be one of those people that just quits over time. And because as sure as you quit, I mean, there are, you know, God can come around if you've got a heart for it. And he can restore people. You know, I love the fact that God, and I heard a wonderful illustration. I may share more of this on Sunday. But, you know, he doesn't, when you mess up, God's not going to write you out of the plot unless you want written out of the plot. He'll rewrite the plot so that you fit back in. And he'll use your life. I was thinking about Samson today, and I certainly wouldn't want to go through the pain that he did. But how many know God didn't write Samson out of the plot? The devil says, oh, you're over, you're done. We're going to just write you out. We're going to find your replacement. Now, if you insist on that, God can do that, but that's not his will. You know, Samson messed up terrible, but at the end of his life, God wrote him back in. And he fully accomplished what God put him here to do, which was get rid of Philistines. Amen? So I want to look at the Apostle Paul. I love Paul because he's very real. There's times when you see Paul get mad and upset about things. There's times when you hear Paul talking about the people that have let him down. There's all, you know, the things that he was dealing with. And he writes a letter to the church in Philippi, and he had founded this church on his second missionary tour, and he had a close relationship with them, and he had invested in them. He had helped them. And he's writing to them from prison, and he loves his church. So I want you to take what he's going to say here in that context. He wasn't just trying to jam them or put his finger in their chest. But he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, he admits some things and he says some things. He says, not that I have attained this ideal. I'm reading out of the Amplified. Not that I have now attained this ideal, or I've already been made perfect. And that word perfect actually means completed. But I press on to lay hold or grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, which is amazing when you consider all he's done. He says, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. So tonight, if you're striving for maturity as a Christian, you should think like this. You should think like Paul's thinking. He says, and if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you. Verse 16, only let us hold true. In other words, don't quit what you have done in the past. Hold true to what we already attained and walk and order our lives by that. Brethren, together, follow my example and observe those who live after the pattern that we have set for you. For there are many of whom I have often told you. Now, notice that word many. There are many who I often told you, and now tell you, even with tears, who walk or live as enemies of the cross of Christ, the Anointed One. They are doomed, and their fate is eternal misery, perdition. Their God is their stomach, their appetites, their sensuality, and the glory, and they glory in their shame, siding with earthly things and being of their party. But we are citizens of the state, of the commonwealth, the homeland, which is in heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we need you tonight. Open our hearts. I pray for a grace and encouragement to come upon every person in this place, God, to press in and to move forward in your plans and your purpose in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul brings up some important questions here. Number one, he says, I need to lay a hold of that for which Christ has laid a hold of me and made me his own. So let me ask you something. Have you considered what he is considering? Have you asked yourself, what has Christ laid a hold of me for? In every life, there's going to be things that are the same, but there's going to be things that are different. Now, he laid a hold of you so he could take you to your home in glory one day, right? But I think it behooves all of us to say, am I laying a hold of what God laid a hold of me for? I like the NLT says, but I press on to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. And again, that word perfection is not a sinless, faultless existence, but it's a completing. So, am I completing tonight? Is Jonathan Bland completing what God laid a hold of me for? Have I considered what he see? A lot of people just going through life, and we're just living life. We're just doing our own thing. How much of the world is not considering what God has for them? Why did he lay a hold of you? Why did he put his hand on your life when many people will not make it? Why did you make it? Why did he lay a hold of you? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Now, a lot of times when we get to this part, we think about, oh, we have to do these hugely spectacular things. You know, what's going to be very interesting in heaven? Number one is there's going to be some people there that you never expected to be there. And number two, there's going to be some people that ain't there that you fully expected to be there. And number three, Matthew 19:30 says that when the award ceremony happens, how many know there is an award ceremony in heaven? He said the first are going to be last, and the last will be first. In other words, there are going to be people that maybe felt, perceived themselves as absolutely insignificant, mundane, and maybe other people kind of said they're of no, maybe they're just the faithful. You know, God looks really big on faithfulness. Some people, they want to do big things. But what about the man or woman that just gets every day up every day and does what God's called them to do? What about moms that just steadily clean that house, invest in that family? You get the kids ready for church. You go, you share with people. All these different things. The first will be last, and the last will be first. But have you considered what God laid a hold of you for? You were saved to accomplish something. I was saved not just to live life, not just to build a house or have a car or go to school or just to have a great time or just to be successful, but God laid a hold of me for a reason. And Paul was determined that he was going to press on. He said, I haven't gotten to all of that, but he said, I'm not going to give up on that. You know, even in the parable of the talents, as you read that in Matthew 25, the servant that just took what God gave him and buried it, they were in trouble with God. Do you know, when we just blow our lives, which, by the way, you were very expensive. You are very expensive. You cost the blood of Jesus. You cost the only begotten Son. So God has invested in us. And see, the servant that said, well, I just did this. I just buried it. And you know what the Lord said? He said, now, throw this useless servant. He called that person a useless. I don't want to be a useless servant. How about you? Throw that servant into outer darkness. So Paul took it serious. He was not just about, he talked about people that became the enemies of the cross. And Philippians 3:19 says, they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think, watch this, they think only about this life here on earth. Wow, that's kind of putting it straight, isn't it? Do you only think about this life? What's occupied your mind today? What have you thought about today? Are you thinking only about this life on earth? That's not a good thing. That's not what God wants. He wants you to be thinking about what He's doing and what He wants you to do and what His plans are in this world. What do you think about? See, what we think about tells a lot about what we're interested in. All of our earthly tasks and plans, if that's all that dominates our lives, we're missing something. So Jesus was serious about this, and Paul understood that. Jesus, at one point, they talked about a tree that wasn't bearing any fruit. It was a fig tree. And the Lord told them, He said, fertilize it, water it, tend to it. But He says, in Matthew 13, He says, then He said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for three years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? You know, sometimes as Christians, we just use up the ground. And that's not what God wants. That's not what the Apostle Paul was talking about. So let me just give you a couple simple things that'll help us to stay on track and to press in, and because God does not want us to fail. I'm not preaching this tonight God doesn't want you to fail. He wants you that even if you have backed off, and let's get honest, all of us have backed off at times. Some of you are in back-off position tonight. My goal would be that you'd be encouraged when you leave this place to pick it up again and move forward. So Paul's purpose wasn't to hammer the Philippians, but was to challenge and to motivate them. And he starts with himself. He says, I press towards the goal. And he says, I haven't attained here. So the first thing, if you're going to move forward and if you're going to press, you have to honestly admit, that I haven't done everything yet that God wants me to do. See, well, if I've just done everything, then why keep going, right? So every one of us has to say, I admit, I haven't laid a hold of everything. I haven't accomplished everything. There's still a place that God wants me to step into. He honestly, which is amazing when you think about who's saying it, right? How many churches had He planted? How many things had He done? But He says, I have to admit, I haven't done all that God wants me to do. See, God, He wants to help us. A few weeks ago, something came up on my phone, and I can't even think of the guy's name, but it was a preacher that, he's not a Holy Ghost preacher. but he passed away some time back, and so I got this this little deal, that this little study thing that he did, and I listened to it, and it talked about how as you get older, and he's talking specifically about people in their 60s, so my ears perked up, because, you know, one day I'm going to hit 60, and you know how that is. Anyhow, so I listened to this thing, he's talking, he says, you know, he says, there comes a place where you don't associate so much with people anymore, and basically he's saying you just pull back, and you, but the, when he presented it, it sounded really rational. And I'm listening to this thing, and it's like, it's kind of appealing to me. In my, but I would just finish the story. So I sent this to Pastor Jones, and he calls me up. He said, that guy is crazy. He said, your best years are all ahead of you, Jonathan. Don't believe him for 1 minute. That's why you need good friends. Amen. You know, devil will catch you right at the right time, and he'll just put something in your brain. He said, your most productive years are ahead of you. Because, how you know, if you take this thing, well, I'm at the end, and I'm just going to back off and crawl in a little hole and read my Bible all day, how many of you, that ain't going to work. And so Paul's saying, you know what, I haven't gotten there. I've got things to do. I've got things to do. Pastor Jones is 80 years this year, and he's planning, we're going to get on an airplane and go, Lord willing. I always say the Lord willing, right, in August. If there's any, you know, oil left or jet fuel left, we'll have to see what happens. But how many know we need to attain to all that God has for us? Paul said, I'm not there yet. And so we have to get honest. An honest confession is good for us, right? It's good for all of us. And we have to get honest here. Some of you tonight might have to say, you know, I've been distracted by the world. Say, I'm not going to ask nobody to raise their hands, but you know, you can get distracted by the world. And you cannot do all the world offers and all God wants you to do. Those two things. You can pursue carnal things to the detriment of your spiritual calling and purpose. Listen to me. You can pursue carnal things. They're not in themselves evil. But you are letting your spiritual calling go to the wayside. You can get your eyes on the wrong things. So all of us have to get honest about that. Again, we're men. And, when you watch people that are playing basketball or football, how many are baseball, softball? Keep your eye on the ball, they say, right? Keep your eye on the ball. You're not looking around. You're not looking at the goal. You're looking at the ball. You know, we have to stare at what God's called us to stare at in life. There's a calling. And devil have all this and all that. Colossians 3:2 says, think about the things of heaven. Set your mind on things above. Wow, that's a lot right there. Not the things of earth. Don't just set your mind on 10 things that you got accomplished tomorrow. Not the things of earth. For you died to this life. See, that bothers some people right there. You died to this life. Everything that you think is so good is going to not matter very much in a few short years. And he says, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So Paul said, you got to admit some things. Got to get real about things. Now, second, he says, that we got to just start pressing. He said, I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. Press. It means to pursue, to follow after, to give yourself to flee one thing to pursue another. So, tomorrow, what will you flee to pursue what God wants you to pursue? What will you flee to read your Bible? To pray, to witness to somebody, to outreach to somebody, to go to church. What will you flee? Because the world will teach you how you can do everything, but you can't. You know, if you're on the Olympic team of heaven, start acting like it. Right? You know, let me ask you this. Is the team of heaven any less important than an Olympic team? No, it's not. I mean, you're on God's Olympic team. He wants you to excel. And Paul said, have this mind. Press towards that. Have an influence. How many want to have an influence for God? Press for God. You know, you can tell your family this. You can tell your kids that. You can, but really, they're just watching what you press into. They're watching what you press into. They see you pressing into God. That has great impact. And the Holy Spirit is right here to help us. So Paul says, just start pressing. You know, don't get overwhelmed. Don't spend your time in condemnation. Tomorrow, tonight, start pressing. Before you go to bed tonight, take your Bible, open it to Psalms and read a little bit. Say, Lord, help me. I'm just a man. I'm just a woman. And God's going to help. Here's the third thing. If you're going to press and you're going to fulfill what God's called you to do and not miss and not quit at an important time, don't let yourself become a victim. I have never seen so many people as play the victim today. Well, I'm this way because of this or that or he says forgetting those things which are behind. You know, there comes a place where you got to forget what happened with the kid because you're 18 now, right? Some of you are 88 instead of 18, but that's okay. Amen. And you got to forget. You got to quit. You can't let yourself, well, I've had it hard. Well, who hasn't at some point had it hard? Who hasn't lost a person? Who hasn't had somebody close to them die? Who hasn't had a financial dive? Who hasn't had things, somebody attack them and hurt them? Everybody has. One of the things, you don't find any pity party in Paul here. He just said, I just had it so hard. No, he says, I forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to reach forward to those things which are ahead. See, we live in a time when people, psychiatrists call it rumination. How many know what rumination is? I got cows. They ruminate. And you know what they do? They just stand there by the hour and chew on what they ate in the past. Okay? They have four stomachs. So they pile that stuff in there, and then they just stand and chew, and they just sit there, grind on those teeth, burp up a little more. It's gross, isn't it? But did you know that as people, we don't need to ruminate? We're not ruminants. We don't need people, well, this, well, that. I mean, it's so amazing to me. I heard the other day, it was a deal on Michelle Obama. She was the first lady, the first black lady in the United States ever to be the first lady. And she's just talking how it was expensive living in that White House, and they didn't even buy them any groceries. Give me a break. You know what I'm saying? Let's stop being the victim. I don't care what your color is. I don't care. I'm telling you, there's always somebody that's gone through way more, and they're not whining and crying about it. You say, Pastor, you're hurting my feelings. Well, you got to get past. You know what? We cannot live by emotions. Don't filter everything in life. Well, this is the way it made me feel. Paul's not talking about feelings here. We are, you know, let me be honest with you. When we filter stuff through emotions and feelings, we usually don't remember it accurately, number one. We have feelings, and if we don't see it, and it doesn't help us to be that. We can all do it. I understand it. But it doesn't bring for healthy living. Look up today. We're citizens of heaven. And the Lord Jesus is in our lives. Paul says in Philippians 3:20, he says, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Think about that. If you got nothing else, think about Jesus coming back. That'll motivate you, right? Every time I look up, I wonder, is it, you know, wouldn't you just love to see him come flashing through those clouds? Wow. Amen. I'm going up. We sing that song, I'm going up. And amen. Maybe if you ask the Lord, he'll let that happen. How many would like that to happen? Just have you look up at the right time and boom, he comes through and you shoot up past him. What an awesome event that's going to be. So let's not be victims today. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus didn't whine about the cross. He just went and did it for you and I, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, you know why Jesus didn't complain? He never said, "You Pharisees have been so mean to me." You know why he never did that? Because he had his eye on eternity. He was accomplishing what God told him he should, could, and should accomplish on earth. He says, hold true to what we have already attained in Philippians 3:13. So, the best of men are still men at their best, but how many know we can grow? And we can press in, and we can be like Paul and say, tomorrow's a new day. If you got pricked tonight, that's okay. Say, thank you, Pastor, for pricking me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for talking to me, right? You know, if God pricks you sometimes, it shows you're alive. It shows that you ain't beyond hope, amen? And then go home tomorrow morning, we'll get up, and we'll all press. The alarm goes off, we roll out of that bed, maybe not as fast as when we were 20, but we roll out of the bed, we grab that Bible, we say, oh, Lord, talk to me today. You know, when you know what makes people happy? When you get around Jesus. No shortcuts. You just got to get around Jesus. There's a scripture that says the disciples, when they saw Jesus, they were happy. How will you be happy? Not when you see a new Mercedes Benz. When you see Jesus, you'll be happy. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a few moments.